Since Norman Doidge released his best-selling book, The Brain That Changes Itself, back in 2007, neuroplasticity has been a big buzzword. So what does it mean? The neuro part is about your brain or your nervous system. And plasticity simply means able to change, malleable or modifiable. In his book, Doidge says, "I met a band of brilliant scientists at the frontiers of brain science, who had, in the late 1960s or early 1970s, made a series of unexpected discoveries. They showed that the brain changes its very structure with each different activity it performed, perfecting its circuits so it was better suited to the task at hand. If certain parts failed, then other parts could sometimes take over." The machine metaphor of the brain as an organ with specialised parts could not fully account for the changes that the scientists were seeing. They began to call this fundamental brain property neuroplasticity. The brain has many important functions, including the capacity to send signals to the body to move. The motor cortex takes up quite a lot of brain real estate, and thus, changes in this area can influence parts nearby as well. Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais, whose story is told in Doidge's second book, The Brain's Way of Healing, believed that this was a highly accessible entry point in bringing change to the brain. He developed a whole series of awareness through movement lessons to help improve the way we function. But the brain also receives signals back from its sensors all around the body. It adjusts its output based on feedback from the sensors. So just try reaching for something with your eyes closed. Do you sense the corrections being made based on the information coming back through the touch in your fingertips? Your sense of where your arm is in space. And maybe try the same thing with your eyes open. Maybe the feedback's quicker and more direct, and you need to do less in the way of correcting. But life's too busy to spend a lot of time really thinking out how do we pick things up or how do we do the simple activities that we do on multiple occasions throughout the day. So in order to make life efficient, we develop movement patterns, a bit like computer programs. For example, reaching for a door handle. So if you want to go out of the room without even having to think about it, your arm rotates, your hand shapes to fit the lever or the knob, and lifts to the appropriate height, applies the correct amount of force, and pushes or pulls the door without even having to think about it. We could be busy having a conversation, carrying a child, using a walking frame, but unless the outcome is different to our expectations, we barely realise that we've had to undertake the task. Our plastic brains learned the basic movement many years ago, and along with many variations, that allows us to think about more important stuff as we're progressing through our day. Now, the downside of neuroplasticity is anyone who's had a stroke, major injury or accident, or even been confined to bed for an extended period will know, is that some of the very basic skills, such as walking, can be lost and take a period of relearning to recover. For the rest of us, even sitting for lengthy periods at a computer or in a car can subtly re-educate these plastic brains we have, and we find ourselves taking the elevated shoulders, the tight hips, or the extended low back into other activities. Exercise is often the first thought, and this can be useful for reinforcing the brain's output system to build muscular strength and increase cardiac fitness. But sensory-based activities, such as the Feldenkrais method, are essential in reinforcing the sensory system to improve the quality of feedback that informs our brain. Touch and movement both create excellent input data to re-educate the brain. And increasingly, studies are showing that bringing awareness to parts of the body accompanied by touch or small gentle movements can really utilise the neuroplastic capacity of the brain to restore function easily. Repetition with awareness and variation are essential to regaining normal function. So here's a short activity for you to try. Sit comfortably tall in a firm chair with your feet flat on the floor. Take your right hand across to your left shoulder and allow your elbow to hang down against your chest. Take your left arm across underneath your right arm and with your left hand hold onto your right shoulder. So this would mean that your right elbow is resting on top of your left arm and you're now giving yourself a big hug. Keeping your hands on your shoulders, lift your elbows straight up and point them forward, and then bring them down to rest on your chest. Do this a few times, but each time notice what's changed. Are you moving at a different point in your breathing cycle? Do you have a sense that a little more of your spine or your hips join in the movement? You might notice that gradually the movement can increase until your elbows are going further and further up towards the ceiling. And if you allow your head to join in as well, so that you look up as your arms go up and down as your elbows come back down again, you might notice things changing through your middle and upper back. Maybe even in your lower back. And then just rest for a moment. Allow your brain to take in this information that it's gathered, to process it and make sense of it, and kind of clear the slate, ready for some more. Can you cross your arms so that the other one is on top now? So coming back into that, giving yourself a hug position. Begin to lift your elbows. Only gradually and gently increasing the range, keeping the movements slow and easy. And noticing, is something changing in your low back, your middle back, or your upper back? Do you sense it perhaps more in the ribs in front? Are they able to open more? Or maybe you're even sensing that your pelvis is starting to roll a little bit as your arms come up. Can you feel that your pelvis rolls forward? And as you bring your arms down again, maybe it can just roll back a little bit, contributing to the changing shape in your back. Make sure that your head's joining in so that you really get that sense of a long curve all the way along your spine, including your neck and your head. Have another little rest. Just let your hands rest comfortably on your knees. Lean back in the chair if you'd like to. Once again, we're allowing time for this information to be absorbed and assimilated into your nervous system. And getting ready to gather some more information. Once again, cross your arms as you did the first time and bring your elbows up to point directly in front. And begin to turn your elbows to your left as if you wanted to point with them to something over on the left side. Let your eyes follow that direction so you can see where they're pointing. And just go back and forth from the centre to the left a few times. Go slowly, make it easy. Check that your breath is flowing freely as you do that. And notice what happens in your pelvis. As you turn, what does it want to do? Maybe you can allow the right side of your pelvis just to slide forward a little bit as your arms turn. And perhaps you get the sense that this helps the turning and makes it a little bit easier. Just rest your arms for a moment. And then once again, lift them up, pointing straight out in front, and see what happens if you turn to the right, using your elbows to point at something, letting your head turn to look where you're pointing. And notice whether this feels like a symmetrical movement to what you did on the other side. Many of us are a little bit lopsided in our organisation. So maybe this side feels easier, or maybe it's not as easy to turn. So can you notice what's different? Is it something in the way that your pelvis is moving? Does the left side slide forward as easily as the other one did? Is it something in the ability of your spine and ribs to turn to support that direction of your arms? And then let it go. Bring your arms down and just rest quietly for a moment. And then come back to sitting up tall. Cross your arms over again. Point your arms forward. And then taking them from side to side. So once to the left, once to the right. In a smooth, easy and continuous movement. Maybe this gives you a better opportunity to compare the sliding of your pelvis. Is each side able to contribute to that sliding forward and back? Do you have a sense that as your pelvis turns, that it takes your spine with it, so the turning can begin right down near the bottom of your back and travel gently up through in a spiral, including your ribs, including your neck, including your head. And then when you're done, let your arms come down, sit back, just rest. Notice what's changing. And then once again, cross your arms and lift your elbows. This time, can you keep your nose pointing straight ahead? And take your elbows from side to side. Just slowly and gently. you might find that you can't turn as far as you could when your head was joining in. So keep within that easy range. Because one other thing that we know is that we learn quicker when we stay within what's easy and comfortable. Does this make the movement feel more or less symmetrical as you turn from side to side? And just check, is your jaw relaxed and soft? Is your face at rest? Or possibly even with a hint of a smile? And notice, does your breathing start to follow the pattern of movement? Is there a particular time when you breathe in or breathe out? Or is it completely separate and just doing its own thing? And maybe you could even begin to take your head a little bit opposite to the direction of your elbows, so that as your elbows and your chest turn one way, your head turns a little bit the other way. Let's try that a few times. And then once again, let your head go with your elbows so that you really look in the direction that they're pointing. And see if something's changed. See if you turn a little further than you did, if you see a little further, and maybe the movement has become easier. And once again, just pause and rest for a moment. And then one last time, cross your arms, let your elbows begin hanging down this time, and slowly bring them up as you turn to the left so that they're eventually pointing up and to the left. You've swung through a big arc and then come down back to the middle. And then likewise, swing your elbows up and to the right, making an arc on that side. And gently go back and forth a few times. Still bringing awareness to your breathing, to the changing shape of your chest. Can you feel how the ribs open on one side and close on the other? And then as you turn, they open on the other side, close on the first one. At the same time, they're turning and twisting a little bit. Your spine is turning, neck is turning. Your hips rolling, going forward and back. You might even be aware of the changing pressure of your feet on the floor. And so now do you have a sense that more of you is involved in this movement? In fact, right through from the ground, through the soles of your feet, through your legs, your hips, your pelvis, your spine, chest and ribs, your arms and shoulders, your neck, your head, and your eyes. Maybe a couple of times you could let your eyes lead the movement so that you sweep them up and around and back and down and see if that adds just a little more ease to the movement. And then let your arms rest. Just sit there on the chair now, noticing if something's changed. Whether it's a little more comfortable, whether your breath is freer, maybe there's just a sense of softness in your face and your shoulders. Maybe even in your back. And as you go on to your next task, maybe you'll discover this sense of ease And being a bit more in a neutral place so that you're free to move in any direction and undertake whatever task is next in your day, which hopefully will be an easy one.